Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is...
Hello, everyone, and no doubt you have all heard about the crisis, and I'm using that word, on our border and what is happening with the unaccompanied minors who actually turn out to be older teenagers. And they are coming into America by the thousands. Well, the other day we just found out that they will be put on buses, busloads of children coming to the interior of America. And they are going to be coming. They have not been tested for anything. We have no idea what diseases they're bringing. We have no idea anything about them. But this administration is allowing them to come into our states. I got an email recently saying that busloads will be coming into the state of Florida. And it is my hope that our governor will be able to take those busloads and say, what country do you live in? And have planes lined up that go right back to that country, because that's the way I would be handling this crisis. However, we all know that these children will slip through the cracks, and that will put an enormous pressure on our schools, which already have enough pressure on them. Worse than the pressure, what on earth are they teaching in our schools? They're certainly not teaching reading, writing, and math, but we're going to find out what's been going on in our schools. I have invited a good friend, Bev Kilmer, on, and she's going to be talking with me about the state of the American schools. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. And Bev, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. Bev is the president of Freedom Speaks and has also created a task force called Safe Ed K-12. And that task force will be dedicated to exposing what's happening in the schools. And together we're working on a program to help people run for school board. So Bev, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen, for the invitation so that I could join you and we could talk to some issues that are extremely important within our school systems.
Well, we have a big issue, and that to me is the explicit sexualization of our students. When I was teaching, I remember teaching biology and I taught hygiene, and the rest of sexual exploration was left up to the family. But the administration has a huge effort to destroy our traditional family, and that is filtering in our schools as they're coaching our kids to use the school family and the teachers as their go-to source. Bev, what have you found that's going on in schools?
Well, it's absolutely atrocious what's happening with our children. They're being exposed from kindergarten going forward. Unfortunately, they start out telling little children, 5, some even 4 years old, that they're not a boy or girl until they decide what gender sex they are. And they let them know early on that they are assigned at the hospital a boy or girl, but that doesn't determine who they actually are. And their body parts, their genitals, does not determine male or female. They tell them that when they get older, they'll determine that. They talk very explicit with boys and girls. They display graphic pictures to boys and girls. And the whole synopsis is not about the sex. And I hate to say this, but we have to be very frank. We have to talk openly about what is taking place. And more important, the so-called hidden agenda, because this is just another move to break down the family units. They tell the students to please feel free to talk to us about your feelings. If you question your identity, your orientation, come to us because you don't want to disappoint your mom and dad. They pound on, we're the safe zone. We don't judge you. Talk to us about whatever. And then they also explain that your mom and dad love you, but they can help but be disappointed when these issues come up. But if you talk to us, we will help you, and you do not have to risk your relationship with mom and dad. One of the reasons that I bring that issue up so early in our conversation is because I received a call from a distraught mom in Leon County that the little girl had been introduced to the class as her male name. She had been talking to the counselors at the school for quite some time. They had decided when she reached the point she was ready that the school would introduce her to her classmates with her male name and genders that they shall respond to. There was no conversation with the mom and dad. They had no idea this was going on. And the little girl decided, along with her two friends, her besties, that they were going to have their breasts cut off. The 13 years old people, 13 years old. And I don't know if y'all know this, but at 13, a child's medical records at school, or even civilly to, you know, the private family doctor, they don't have to share anything with mom and dad. That girl can be given referrals sent to doctors to talk about having her breast removed, and mom won't ever know it. The insurance company will pay for it, but they don't even have to tell mom and dad. This is scary, people. It really is scary, and it breaks my heart. We've got to stop it, Karen.
I could not agree more, and I would like everybody just to think back. Think back to when you were 11 to 13 years old. How many times did you change your mind of what you wanted to be when you grow up? How many people said at 11 years old, I know I'm going to be a doctor? Not many. How many people said, I know I'm going to be this? Not many. You changed. That was the idea of growing up, to be able to make those changes. So what's happening now is anytime there is an issue or a problem, the counselors are slanting it towards a sexual issue or a problem instead of really investigating the makeup of the child. And I hate to tell everybody, actually, I don't hate to tell you, there's only two genders. It doesn't matter how you slice and dice your body. If you were born a girl, you're a girl. If you were born a boy, you're a boy, because your makeup of what is your body components will only do what you were born with. No matter how hard you try to beat that, it's not going to matter. And then what happens is that these kids are going to be stuck on drugs for the rest of their lives that are trying to, quote, change their gender into something that biologically is absolutely impossible. And it is so sad, because to me, it's bad enough that these kids have a problem, but aren't we compounding these problems, Bev?
We absolutely are. And one of the problems that no one wants to talk about, and to me, it's one of the most critical components, when you're talking about changing your sex or removing your breast, going through hormonal therapy to be the opposite sex of what you were born, the reality is you have a male heart or female heart. The chromosomes in your body, the DNA in your body, all of the makeup in your entire body, there's not one iota of a hint anywhere in your body that isn't designed directly to work hand in hand with your chromosomes and all that make you the sex that you were born in. And when you try to change that by taking hormonal therapies, that adds stress on your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, all of your internal organs, that they come ready to work together as a unit. And you're actually taking one of the most important aspects of the operation of your heart, we'll say, and trying to say, oh, we don't need you to work that way, so we're going to give you certain medications that will kind of alleviate that. We'll get more progesterone, testosterone, or we'll put whatever we need to kind of make your body think that it's a male instead of a female. The only thing is, all the other organs are saying, wait a minute, what about me? I can't work with that other makeup. We've got to find. So then they come with more and more drugs. But the reality is, when you add those hormonal drugs to make your heart think it's a male heart, it's adding pressure on it, and it will wear out early. Stress on that heart trying to convince it that it's a male heart when it knows it's a girl heart.
You're absolutely right. And make no mistake, if you're an adult and you want to change whatever it is that you want to change, and you've investigated, I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is taking our vulnerable children and sexualizing them into a degree that they can't change. They can't go back from. They can't wake up one morning and say, oops, I made a mistake and that's not really what I want, which is what kids do all the time. So not only are we sexualizing them and training them that sex is something that they should be able to have any moment, any day, any time with anybody, we're also coaching them into believing that they can change their gender, and they really cannot. This is a travesty that we are doing to our children. And I believe it just has to do with money. The drugs, everything that is being used, the operations are a fortune. Somebody's making a lot of money. Follow the money. Bev, tell everybody where they can find you and this wonderful conference that is being put together. And I also want to give a disclaimer and tell everyone I am so happy I have joined Bev's organization. And I hope everyone else will as well.
Thank you, Karen. I will. We have a conference scheduled in Orlando at the Rosen Plaza on April 30th. And we're going to be talking about a lot of serious things. And one thing about our organization, Freedom Speaks Coalition and Safe Ed K-12, we are not a think tank. We are not an organization that just puts information out there and said, you can go to our website and read, blah, blah, blah. We are an organization committed, dedicated to stopping this travesty on our children. The way that we're doing it is through legalities. What we did was take all the harmful elements of the classroom work that's being done, and then we're matching it against Florida law, the statutes that our state is ruled by. We found over 20, somewhere between 20 and 30 actual sex crimes against children that are being committed in the classrooms every day against our children. And there are serious crimes. And most of them, or many of them, are actual felonies. And what people don't understand is, once we went public with this information, anyone who knows that children are being abused, and this is child sexual abuse, once anyone knows that this has taken place and refuses to do anything about it, they become complicit. And that means the Commissioner of Education, the school superintendents of every school district, principals. It's a crime against children, period. Let's wake up, because these children are innocent. They deserve, especially in grades from kindergarten to fifth grade, they deserve those years to be focused on building their educational foundation, not learning pronouns and pronouns that don't make sense. One person is a they. No, they're not. That person is a he or a she. And kids are so confused. So we are all about enforcement. We have laws on the books, and we want to have our authority professionals, whether it be the sheriff, city commission, school directors, we need them all to say, this is against the law. I didn't realize I was hurting children this badly. They are. And we need to wake up and save the children. They deserve a good quality education, and they deserve a good quality life. Both are being robbed from them. I am just so passionate about protecting the children. As far as adults, I don't care what the adults do with their life. I honestly just want to protect the children. They deserve a life too.
They certainly do. And while our schools are so concentrated on being busy changing their gender and teaching them how to have sex, they're not teaching them how to read and write and do math. And what do these people face as they grow older and step into their real life situation? It is horrific. Bev, tell everyone where they can find you. And it does not matter if something is slanted to Florida. Look in your state. Your states have statutes also. People have been trying to protect children for years. Remember the song, "Children are our future." Well, they are. And if we mess up their childhood, what future do they have? They won't have any.
We have a website, Freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, speaks.com, freedomspeaks.us. And we are a national organization. So if you're in a different state than Florida, that's fine. Reach out to us. We have people in a lot of states and maybe yours. We also can be reached by phone at 850-933-6476. And my email is freedomspeaks.us.
Thank you, Bev. And people, please, everyone, it's up to us. Nobody is going to make a change if you're sitting on your couch and you're just listening and you're saying, oh my goodness, how awful. It's time to do. How did we get in the situation that we're in right now? By not paying attention and not doing. It is time to do. Bev, I know that we're having a conference at the end of April. Is this going to be one where we're just going to go and sit and listen?
Karen, I'm glad you asked that question. Absolutely not. This is a conference that is designed to find out what you, as a citizen, parent, mom, dad, pastor, we need pastors to take a stand for our children. This is a conference designed for people to be given guidelines of what they can do. Everybody wants to do something, Karen. Everybody wants to help. No one wants to know this and do nothing. So this conference, when you leave, you will have a roadmap to solving the problems, protecting our children. And just so you know, our goal is to eliminate this comprehensive, illegal sex education out of the classroom by the end of 2021, period. Well,
that is a phenomenal goal. And you can go to Bev's website and find out more about the conference. Please join us if this is our future. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And it is no secret that the federal government is trying to encroach upon our states. I think they forgot that the states actually determined the federal government and created the federal government, making the states dominant, making the states autonomous, and giving the states full sovereignty. I think they forgot that because the bills that they are trying to pass go right into destroying the total destruction of the states if we allow that to happen. I just read that Georgia passed an incredible bill that will correct a lot of the fraudulent issues that they were suffering from before. And now Joe Biden thinks that he is going to be able to go to the Supreme Court and nullify that. I don't think that should happen. But when we're talking about legislative issues and the states, I like to turn to a good friend, Mike Hill, who was a representative in the state of Florida. And I became friendly with Mike when I realized that Mike was one of the fewest honest politicians. I can't believe I have to say fewest in front of that, because one of the things that I always enjoyed with my talks with Mike is that when I said something, if it couldn't be done, if it was impossible, he didn't ditzy around and say, oh, yes, Karen. He was not a yes person. He said, no, this can't be done because of. And I learned so much. Thank you so much for joining me today, Rep Hill. I really appreciate this time that you are giving.
Karen, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you. Mike, I'd like to get right to the point and talk about this horrific H.R. 1 and what it will do to the states who really, according to the Constitution, are in charge of their own voters.
Well, with this H.R. 1, what we are seeing that it will do is try to put into law all of the illegal voting practices we saw take place at our last presidential election. So we saw such things as ballot harvesting. We saw such things as mail-in ballot voting, same-day voting and registration, counting ballots after the polls have been, accepting ballots after polls have been closed. All of those things which we knew were against the voting laws of various states, this Democrat-controlled House and Senate right now is trying to shove that down our throats to make it a federal law. They can do that if they want, Karen. The fact of the matter is our Constitution says that the election laws that pertain to each individual sovereign state is to be determined by that state. As you said in your opening, the power belongs to the states and to the people, not to the federal government. So what we can do as a state of Florida is what is called nullification. Much like Georgia did, where they passed a law saying that they will not abide by this unconstitutional power grab being done by the Democrats, that Florida can do the same thing. It doesn't necessarily take a law. We just simply state, we are not going to comply. You are not going to bring that into our state. And that's where we need the Secretary of State, Madam Laura Lee, to make sure she issues a statement to each of the county supervisor of elections that we are not going to abide by that, that we're going to keep our current rules. And in fact, we have going through the Florida legislature right now an initiative of Governor DeSantis that we are going to actually stop some of the things that H.R. 1 and Senate Bill 1 are trying to do, such as we are not going to have ballot harvesting. It will not be allowed in the state of Florida.
Mike. Could I stop you there and ask you to explain ballot harvesting for those people that may not understand what it is?
Sure. Ballot harvesting is when one individual or a group of individuals will go around and collect ballots from others, such as at nursing homes or at churches or in certain communities. And they will gather all these ballots together and then supposedly take them to the supervisor of elections office, to the precincts to be counted. The problem with that is it is a recipe for fraud, because what these ballot harvesters can do, these people who are collecting these ballots, is they can toss out the ones that they don't like, or they can add to it unbeknownst to the voters. They can add ballots in there. As we saw that here in Florida at the midterm elections in 2018, the atrocities that we saw happening in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, where days after the polls had closed, we're finding truckloads of ballots, which somehow had been found, were showing up. And they wanted to count those as valid ballots. But we put a stop to that here in Florida. And thank goodness we have, because that alone is what can steal an election from the citizens who are properly voting.
Well, they go around and they keep on saying that the voter ID laws are racist. How is that possible when you need an ID to do almost anything in this country?
Of course, it's not racist, Karen. That is the dog whistle that they use each time to try and cower someone into submitting to their desires. And unfortunately, we have too many who will kowtow and back off when those claims of racism are thrown at them, because nobody wants to be a racist. What we need are elected officials with courage who will stand up and say, no, it is not racist for us to require an ID for someone to vote. We need to verify that the person who is voting and is signing that ballot is who they say they are. That way we know we have the voting integrity, so that everyone's legal vote counts properly. The racism claim is utter nonsense.
Well, unfortunately, that is one of the callings that they use all the time. And I always say, if everything that we're doing is racist, then in reality, nothing is racist. And I think that impression is something that we have to start promoting, because you're absolutely right. Nobody wants to be called a racist. And the majority of people who are being called racists are really not. But what they are is they're becoming afraid, so they are allowing themselves to be canceled. And when that happens, that is a very, very scary thing. And that is part of the cancel culture, which is part of the Marxist ideology to destroy the culture of America. And the other side of what they're doing is what's going on the border. Mike, I just read that they are bringing busloads of immigrants. And of course, they're tugging on our emotional cord by calling these people unaccompanied minors. I find it very interesting that these unaccompanied minors might be 15, 16, 17, and 18 years old. And if an infraction is bad enough, they'll try them as an adult. But then when they're coming over the border, they're calling them unaccompanied minors. What are we to do if busloads of people show up at our doorstep?
What we are seeing, what we are witnessing before our eyes, Karen, is an utter disaster, a complete abdication of responsibility by the Biden administration. And as President Trump has said, they don't have a clue what they are doing. They have created this crisis at the border. And what I have heard from Senator Marsha Blackburn is that the Mexican cartels are completely involved in this and are making millions of dollars off of this. These unaccompanied minors, first of all, the age limit used to be 10 years old. Recently, the Biden administration has changed that to 18 years old. But because no ID is required, you can have someone in their 20s, 24, 25-year-old who just happens to look young, who belongs to MS-13, this gang out of El Salvador, a very wicked, violent gang, come across as a so-called unaccompanied minor. And the whole idea is they bring these people in, these minors are then released into the U.S., and then once they're in the U.S., they can call for their parents, and their parents are allowed to come and join them because the children are here. It's a game. It's gaming the system. It should not be allowed, and it is causing a crisis at our border, not only in just one state, but along our entire southern border, Texas, Arizona, California. They're all seeing a huge influx of these criminal immigrants coming into our country. I call them criminal because they are breaking the law. We don't call them simply illegal immigrants. You're breaking a law that makes you a criminal. It's not that we are against immigration. We just want legal immigration. You come in here the correct way, you are vetted, and we desire whether or not we want to have you in our nation, contributing to this nation, and not instead being a financial, economic, educational burden on this nation.
You made a very important point, because the old immigration laws that we had before, and I hate to say this, but President Reagan, I believe, really messed up immigration by allowing amnesty without actually fixing any of the laws. But when people came here, they even had to have a job, they had to have a sponsor, and they had to go through a procedure which would then enable them to become a citizen, and they paid the state to be able to do that. That's not happening now, as hordes of people are coming in. And I just read that good old Dr. Fauci wants our children to wear masks when they're playing with each other, but yet these kids are coming in and nobody's checking them for anything. So how does that work?
Karen, it doesn't even make sense. I've heard information that as much as 25% of these unaccompanied children coming in have tested positive for COVID. And they are living in conditions there on a border which are horrific right now, those detainment facilities. I think we've all seen videos and pictures of them where all of these children are crammed into these small areas because they weren't intended to have that many. But we have these Mexican cartels bringing these children to the border, who, by the way, the Mexican cartels were paid for doing that. And that's why you see the busloads, and they are very well organized. These cartels are so well organized that they have wristbands associated with each of the different cartels, so they know who they are. They are bringing these children here. We hear the horror stories that many of them are sexually abused along the way. The vast majority of them are, and it's just an atrocity. And it should be stopped, and stopped immediately. But we have a Biden administration that has no clue on how to do it. And besides that, they don't want to, Karen.
I think that's the real key. They don't want to. So what can we do when busloads come to our state? What can we do as the regular citizen that says, no, I don't want these people here. I don't want to pay for them. I don't want to have them be a burden on our schools. I don't want to have them being a burden. We have so many people that are out of jobs right now. We need to get Americans jobs. What can we do, Mike? What would you suggest?
What we can do, Karen, are a couple of things. First of all, the governor of our state needs to step up and say emphatically that we are not accepting these illegal immigrants into our state. We saw during the Obama administration where they were bringing hordes of illegal immigrants into societies and completely changing it. Like we see that in Wisconsin, a complete Somali neighborhood has been created. And it has gone so far as to be able to elect someone like Ilhan Omar into Congress. The Mall of America. At one time, it was a tourist attraction where people from all over the U.S. would go there. Now it has been completely taken over by Somali Muslims. What we need are states such as Florida saying, you cannot bring them into our state without our permission. So what can we do as lay people? Contact the governor and let them know that that is your position, that he needs to step up and say they're not to be admitted here. And then at a more local level, the sheriff, who is the highest elected official in that county, as the highest authority, should step up and be willing to say, no, you are not going to admit them here in Escambia County. And if a busload arrives, have the sheriff's department there to escort them outside the border of our state and not to return. That is what needs to be done.
Well, I'd like to see them escort the bus to the nearest airport, divide up the people in the country of origin, and put them on a plane and send them back home, or else maybe send them to Washington. Maybe they would like to have them. I believe that this is a travesty, and nobody has given us a better viewpoint of what this is and what we can do than you. And I really appreciate the time that you have given me, Mike. This is terrific. And I'm going to call on you again, if you don't mind. Okay. Love to have you back.
Yes, it would be my pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone. You have been listening to Karen Schoen and Mike Hill, and this is the Prism of America's Education. Folks, now is not the time to be a couch potato. You use your fingers to do the dialing. Use your fingers to touch the keyboard. Get involved. Make sure your representatives know what you want. Otherwise, they can't represent you. We will be right back. Don't go away.
My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
In the last segment, we were talking about voting and how you needed a voter ID in order to be able to vote in the state of Georgia. And now the Biden administration and all of its communist cronies are going after the state of Georgia, claiming that it is racist to require minorities to get an ID in order to be able to vote. Well, didn't we just hear that the Biden administration is also considering mandatory vaccine passports for all Americans in order to be able to travel? And the communist governors are lining up and they're going to be instituting that in their states. Now, in order to get this vaccine, you have to show an ID. So does that mean that the minorities will not be able to get the vaccine? Oh, wait a minute. What happens if they use that vaccine ID to be able to vote? Oh, my goodness. I guess that messes up that racist comment. Hello, everyone. Back again. This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. And as we are going into probably the most holiest time for both the Jews and the Christians, I thought a little piece of information would be in order before we get canceled, because that's really what this Biden crowd wants to do. They want to cancel us. They don't want us to share our families. They don't want us to share our religion. They don't want us to share our culture. They would really like us to disappear. But in my opinion, Jesus Christ was the ultimate when it comes to being non-compliant and going after things that are right. But someone asked me, how come Easter is a different time every year? And in reality, it has nothing to do with the date. I looked it up and I found out that Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday following the full moon that occurs just after the spring equinox. Now, what does that mean for people that don't have a science background? When spring begins and there is a new full moon, the first Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. Now, in the Jewish religion, sometimes Passover and Easter coincide. Why does that happen? And why does Passover change all of the time? Well, the Jewish calendar is based on the moon, whereas the Christian calendar is based on the sun. And as a lunar calendar, there are 28 days and there are actually 13 months. So although the timing and the date is always the same on the Jewish calendar for Passover, it changes on the Christian calendar. And why is Passover celebrated? Because that was the time when Moses led the Jews out of Egypt after they were slaves. So every single religion, every single group went through a period of being slaves. And that happens when the masters, the elite, are the ruling class, are able to divide us. And when it comes to talking about things like that, Pastor Rick Stevens is my go-to person. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me today. And you made a very interesting comment before about laws that are being observed. Can you share that with everyone?
Well, sure, Karen, and thanks for having me. I'm always glad to talk to you and to your audience. We are going through a period of time when people do wonder about whether they should do what the government tells them to do or whether they should not. A lot of that has come about with the lockdowns. A lot of that centers around the mask mandates and all of those kinds of things. And I think most of us care about our neighbors, and so we want to do what we need to do to make sure we don't cause harm to our neighbors or inflict some kind of injury to them. So we're all cautious about and respectful of each other. That's what we need to be. But we've also been through a period of time when the government has issued certain commands, you might say. Some people call them edicts or ordinances, whatever you want to call them, whatever they happen to be called where you are. They will issue things that have a penalty attached to them because they expect you to comply and do what you're told. Now, one of the interesting things about our understanding of law and of right and wrong is that we in this country have always understood that law is connected to that which is right or that which is wrong. And so we'll talk about a just law being a law that is right. And usually what people mean by that, and I know there's going to be pushback against this on some quarters, but I think it's the only way to look at it. Usually a law that is right is that which conforms or aligns with what God has told us is right and wrong. And we have all of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation to inform that understanding. And when a law is just, then it complies, conforms, or aligns with that which the Bible says is right. And many times people will push back against a law and call it unjust and refuse to follow it because they say it doesn't conform with that which is right and that which is wrong. And so when we've seen people act as racist, we say they shouldn't do that. And our laws are aligned to make sure that every race is respected because nobody believes that we should be beating up on each other, treating each other unkindly, or making any kind of decision simply because the color of our skin. So we say those kinds of laws are unjust because they're based on something that God said doesn't matter. He says we're all created in his image and we all are equal and we act that way.
And that very, very well put and very important. And as a result of that, it is sad that we now have to make laws that parents should be in charge of our children. Their children. They are not, as Hillary said, taking a village to raise a child. It is the parents who are in charge of the children that they have created. There are the rules that should be followed for their household. And unfortunately, that's not what we see today. But fortunately, the Florida Citizens Alliance has done a remarkable job and just sent out an alert. And I am proud to say that one of the bills that we have been advocating is making its way through the state. And Pastor Rick, can you tell everyone about the parental choice bill?
Well, I think you were talking about parental rights, where it gives parents the choice in education and healthcare and all kinds of things. And that's a very good example of what you brought up earlier of a law that is just and right. We agree that it seems odd that we have to put this kind of stuff into law because we've always believed parents had both the opportunity and the responsibility to raise and shape their children. It was an important responsibility. We expected them to do it right. But lately, we've been noticing how government agencies want to interfere with that. The assumption seems to be that when the government is involved in it, it's the safe, right thing to do, and parents, whatever they're doing, is somehow suspect. Well, that's exactly contrary to what we believe is right, and we believe that viewpoint is clearly wrong. So the Parents' Rights Bill simply puts into law and collects existing law into one place to clearly define in Florida, these are the rights of parents, and parents need to be respected as it relates to their children. And the government should not interfere. And you're right, it's a good thing. That bill has gone through its committees. It's moving to the floor of the House in Florida. We have every confidence that it will be voted favorably. And we are hopeful then, but not as certain, that it will be approved in the Senate. We think there's a very good chance that it will be. We're just a little hesitant because that's where we ran into trouble last year.
Yes, that is always, there are always those unintended people who bring up something and in the last minute a bill will change, and hopefully that will not happen this time.
That's right. And there's another problem with that related to that, and I'm sure you're aware of this too. A lot of people don't think about this, and I don't suppose I really like to think about it much either, but it's still a reality. Sometimes there are bills that all of us who have good judgment or who think we have good judgment think that they should be not questioned, no controversy, just easily approved. But we find out sometimes way after the fact that sometimes senators or members of the House don't want to have to take a position on it. So they don't want it to go forward. They don't want it to come to the floor of the House or the Senate, because when it comes there, then they have to vote. They have to either be for it or against it. So we're a little concerned that in the Senate, there might be some people who just don't want to take a public position on it. And so sometimes that's why bills are killed in committee, or they run the clock out on them, or other sorts of tactics, because certain senators don't want to go on the record of being for or against it. Seems a little odd to us because we think that's what they're there to do, but that's the reality. So we're very aware of all of that. The Senate has a great sponsor in Senator Ray Rodriguez. We're very confident that he will do an excellent job getting it through. But there are still obstacles, and there are still going to be some people who are going to be reluctant. And so we just have to watch that. And I would encourage everybody in Florida that's listening to go to the Florida Citizens Alliance website, goflca.com, and sign up to get these action alerts. It's a very simple, straightforward process, and you can be a part of helping these good pieces of legislation get through the process and arrive on the governor's desk so he can sign them. So that's goflca.com. We would love to have you join our email list and let your voice be heard. It's a very simple but effective way to do that.
Yes, and this is the most important time right now where we, the people, are in charge. And we are in charge of our legislators. And if we don't tell them what to do and we don't tell them where we stand, how are they going to know? You can't have somebody represent you if you don't know, if they don't know what to represent. And too often they are going to take it upon themselves to voice their own opinion. They were not elected to voice their own opinion. They were elected to voice the opinion of the people. And it's up to we, the people, to tell them what our opinion is. Get your legislator on your speed dial. And as I said before, and I will say again, if you don't want to talk to them, call their office in the middle of the night. Leave a message. You don't have to talk to them. But if they don't know your opinion, they will never vote for your opinion. It is not just voting at the ballot. It's all year long. Get to know them. Most of them are really, really nice people. And it doesn't even matter. Some of them may be Democrats, maybe Republicans, but most of them are looking to help children. And that's what this is all about. Pastor, how are the bills going that had to do with the scholarships in Florida?
Well, the scholarship bills are making progress. We've been watching the one in the Senate for a while now because it was filed some weeks ago, and it keeps going through the process a little bit at a time. There are many good things about that bill. There are a few things that we're a little bit cautious and uncertain about. But some of those may be corrected in the House because the House bill just appeared. We were absolutely certain as you can be in a process you don't really know everything about, that there would be a House companion to the Senate bill related to the scholarships. And it was just filed. It's a much shorter bill. It has a few different provisions. It protects the Hope Scholarship in a way that we wanted the Hope Scholarship protected. So we're pretty confident that that will remain as a separate scholarship all its own so that we can tell children and their parents about that. So when their children face a bullying or a harassment or an intimidation or a threatening situation at school, they can have that scholarship. We think that's very good. Some of the other things are related to details. I understand that the House bill will greatly expand. I mean, in ways we couldn't have even imagined that they would consider. And that's a good thing, by the way, greatly expand the number of children that will have the opportunity to use one of these family empowerment scholarships. We think that's a huge step in the right direction to give parents, again, kind of goes back to parents' rights. Parents should have the right to send their child to the school they choose. I've often said parents choose their child's dentist. Why can't they choose their child's teacher? After all, their teacher has such an important role in not only teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic, but in shaping their understanding of life and helping that child grow up. So the parents ought to be able to choose the teacher that interacts with their child every day. So we think these two things, the scholarship bill, this parents' rights bill, are real evidence that the legislature is moving in the right direction on some of these important issues. And as you rightly said, the people that represent us need to hear from us. And there's another reason for that I sometimes like to remind people. Not only do you need to get your opinion out there, and you should and shouldn't be hesitant to do that. And yes, I like Karen's idea of calling in the middle of the night and leave a voicemail. Why not? But you also need to recognize that sometimes they need to know you're supporting them because it helps give them political cover. So when they do the right thing, they can say, I heard from my constituents and this is what they wanted me to do. And so I was there to represent them. I'm happy to hear them and hear their perspective. And so I acted appropriately. It gives them a reason to do what you want to do because you've said, this is what I want you to do. It's really important.
Very important. And don't be afraid to call the governor's office either. Whatever state you're in, the governor is the one who makes the ultimate decision. He's the one that has to sign. He or she are the ones that have to sign off on the bills. And if they have no idea what you want, they can't represent you either. So it is very important that we are in close contact with our elected officials. They are not elected rulers. They are elected representatives of we, the people. Pastor, we are coming to the close of the show, and would you close us out in prayer? That would be wonderful.
I'd be glad to. Heavenly Father, as we live through these days of uncertainty and sometimes a certain amount of fear of the future, not because of the virus, but because of what we see our country becoming, we're reminded of the events of Holy Week and of Easter that you are the one who has the last word. And we're thankful for that, and we're confident in that. And we live our lives not in fear of what might happen, but in confidence of the person who has the future in his hands and who will be in the future to meet us when we get there. Because of the resurrection, we know we can live as well. Thank you for that. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. And thank you very much, Pastor Rick. And I hope that all of our friends and listeners have had a wonderful Passover, Easter. This is a, as we said before, a very holy time for everyone. And we cannot allow this to be canceled. We can't allow cancel culture to continue to poke holes at our beliefs and to change what America stands for. And we have been doing that for too often. It's not going to work. It never has worked before, and it's not going to work now. So, folks, now is the time. God is watching. God is on your shoulder. And this is the time that we should be turning to him and turning to yourself and to your family and making sure that you are all safe and sound as we go forward in this horrific time of great turmoil that we see happening. Remember, we talked about sovereignty. The states are sovereign. If a law is unjust, we do not have to look at it. We do not have to follow it. But if our representatives don't know that we don't want to follow it, that we don't want to look at it, by all means, they're not going to pay attention. We must take charge. We must take control. We have to be in control of our lives, of our family, and of our children. Most important, of our children. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much for joining me, Pastor Rick. It has been a pleasure as always. And we'll see you again next week. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to The Prism of America's Education. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me.